Acts chapter 18, we're going to begin in verse number 1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this beautiful day you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to be in this place and be gathered together as your church family. Lord, we thank you for how you work and move in our lives. And Lord, that we know as we come together in this place that, Lord, your spirit truly is here. Lord, we're reminded of your presence in our life each and every day. And we thank you, Lord, for that. I pray that you would just guide us this morning as we open your word. Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts and our minds. And Lord, that you would speak your words through me today, that your church, we might receive your message. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Verse number 1 of chapter 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. And he came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. We continue on in the account of Paul and his missionary journeys. Of course, as we talked about last time, we're looking at his second missionary journey as we look in these verses here. And think about Paul's life. We see the description where we left off last week that we discovered a little bit about the city of Athens. We're reminded of the true pagan worship that was going on there and the challenge that Paul had given to that city to truly learn what it meant to worship what they titled the unknown God. As we continue to think about relationship and commitment to Christ, Paul followed in obedience throughout these places. And we pick up this morning in these verses that he left Athens. He left that place where he had preached Jesus Christ and went on again now to Corinth, to this city that we see here. He says, a certain Jew. Think about these things as we read it in Scripture here that Paul goes from place to place, and we find throughout the book of Acts how often he comes into a city or a place and there's somebody there. There's always somebody there waiting, somebody there that God has opened an opportunity with. As we see it mentioned in this verse, as we've already read here, he comes to this place and we're introduced to Aquila and his wife, right? And we see some little details. I find it interesting how God always provides little details for us in Scripture. Things that probably if we read them real quickly doesn't really matter. But we find out very quickly here that Paul came into fellowship with these individuals, with Priscilla and Aquila, and we see why he came into fellowship, right? They had something in common. Ever thought about an opportunity that God gives to us today as Christians to minister to people and to come into fellowship with people because of things we have in common? Probably most of the time in our lives today, if we really begin to talk about it and have conversations together, we find out it's usually easier to fellowship with people we have something in common with, right? Anybody ever find it difficult to fellowship with people you don't have anything in common with? You wouldn't know because you don't talk to them, right? We naturally search out people that we have something in common with. We look for people that maybe they act the same way we do. Maybe we have conversations that kind of put us in the same relationship. Or we have, in the instance of Paul here and these two individuals, they have something in common. And that was the job. We recognize one of the things that we don't always think about in this particular context of the verses about Paul was that he had a full-time job. He was always busy about working because he had to support himself, right? He was a missionary. He was a servant of God, but he still worked. And there's something to be said about that today in the life of the church. Amen. Something to be said about being a minister of the Heavenly Father and a minister of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And every place that we go, I think it's much more than saying that Paul was a pastor, what we might consider today in the context of a bivocational pastor. You know what that looks like? just because you've seen it firsthand. You know what that looks like. There's times and situations when pastors just have to work. There's things that don't permit otherwise. But I think one of the great benefits of that is that it puts us in relationship with people that we might not see if we just hung out in the church. Mm-hmm. And this opened an opportunity for Paul as well. We see for Priscilla and Aquila here as we're introduced to them that it tells us in verse 3 that he was of the same craft. And that's what it says. He abode with them. He came to this place. They were of the same craft. And if you have a different version, probably your Bible says something different about it. But in that third verse it says, and they wrought. That's the picture of work. Now, we probably don't use the word wrought very often in our thoughts today, right? None of you are going to get up and rot tomorrow morning. You're going to go to work. That's what they did. They were busy about the work that was set before them. Paul came alongside of them and he worked. And that was another important key thing here for us to understand. One misconception that I think we find in our world today that it's okay to work, right? We do live in a society today that's fearful of work, whether you realize it or not. It's a part of life. God has commanded us to work. And we see it over and over in Scripture, and it's a very important thing that we recognize in the life and ministry of Paul here. He began to work beside these other individuals, and he says their occupation, they were tent makers. Now we know not only was he working, but what did he do? He made tents. That's a hard job. We think about it. For some of you, you've been around here when we stuck a tent in the ground out here a few different times. It's a lot of work. To put stakes in the ground and stretch a tent, and to do it right, by the way. That's the other thing, right? You could stretch a tent sometimes, but it doesn't always work out. Brother Jack was pretty good about making sure we stretched it correctly. And then when we all left, he fixed it, if you didn't know that. He was really good at making sure it looked really good. It takes a lot of work just to do some of the things that they did. Paul knew what it meant to work. And he comes alongside of these individuals. It says he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Man, it starts to sound like everyday life. When you think about Paul's life and his ministry, it sounds like just what you and I are in every single day. He went to work. He worked beside these individuals that were followers of Christ. He did the things that everybody else did. And he went to the Sabbath on Sunday. In our mind, Sunday, Saturday. In Paul's perspective here, most likely, we still see those thoughts and those ideas creeping in as our changes begin to move in the life of the church. But we think about it today. He went to a place of worship. When we define that truly that Sabbath day, it's important for us. What did he do? As we've seen him do throughout all of his ministry and time after time and city after city and place after place where he has gone, what did Paul do? He went straight to the synagogue. He went straight to the place of worship. To the people that were following, supposedly, in relationship with God the Father. He testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Same thing that we've already discussed many a times to this point in the book of Acts. What happened? Paul came to the place of the synagogue and he preached a new message, right? He preached something different. He preached Jesus Christ. Same call that God has given to us this morning. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter what individuals we might come in contact with, we preach Jesus Christ. Share with others what it means to know Jesus. In verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and they blasphemed, he shook his raiment and he said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. That gives us an important description of what happened when Paul went to the synagogue, to the place of worship. When he began to speak and to preach and to teach about Jesus Christ, what do we see? Doubt. We see conflict. We see individuals that very literally denied who Jesus was. And this is the picture that we see here. Paul, it tells us there, he shook off his raiment. This is a scriptural definition of what sometimes does occur in the church and what maybe in time should occur. This situation arose. Paul shook off his raiment, says that he had done what God had called him to do. He had faithfully shared Jesus Christ. And we recognize today that the very same thing occurs sometimes in our society. We may share the Word of God, we may share the truth of Christ, and there may be times and situations when people do not want to accept who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. Paul recognized something that honestly sometimes is not recognized in the church. We go about doing the ministry that God has called us to. Paul recognized that there were individuals that had no desire to hear it. And sometimes today in the life of the church, we need to pray that God would help us to see those individuals. so that we might be more effective in the ministry that God has called us to. We see one very important distinction that occurred here in these verses that we read it. He says that he shook off his raiment, and then it says, your blood be upon your own heads. And what does he say? I am clean. I am removed from those things. Paul says, you do not want to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. I'm moving on. And the big important thing that we have to gather from this particular verse in the book of Acts is that there's a transition here. This is a move in the life of Paul. Up until this point in the book of Acts, what have we seen? Everywhere he goes, every city he comes to, every place that he comes into communication with people, he goes first to the religious center, to the synagogue, to the Jews, to proclaim Jesus Christ. And the transition in this verse now leads us to the place of the Gentiles. Paul now says very specifically here, from henceforth, I will go to the Gentiles. He had done what God had commanded him to do. He went first to the Jews. He proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ. And we see a transition now here in the life and ministry of Paul. And we see a transition that's very important to each and every one of us today. We really begin to recognize historically what happened. Salvation was offered to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Relationship with Jesus Christ was offered in this place. And in this moment, Paul's ministry begins to change. He now goes about faithfully sharing the Word of God to people that are interested in hearing it. Now, you know, and we've talked about this up until this point already in the book of Acts, but you understand today, if you're not a Jew, then you fall into the category of being a Gentile. If you're not a Jew this morning sitting in this place, you are a Gentile. And it's important to know, without this transition in the church, we might not have seen the movement that we see today in the life of the church. This was God's plan, outlaid very specifically. As Paul faithfully shared, he made a decision to be obedient to the Lord, and the Gentiles are now hearing the Word of God. In verse 7 it says, he departed thence, and he entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Now we see again, now he goes into this place. He's left the synagogue, he's left the place of worship, and now he's busy about sharing the truth of Jesus Christ. And where does he go? But to a house, to a place where there's faithful servants, where there's a desire to hear the Word of God. He said, a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Now, just put this into your mind for a second. Paul has been very literally pushed out of the synagogue. Did you catch that? They didn't want to hear the Word of God. They didn't want to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. So what is he? What happens? This pressed heart against the synagogue. This guy lived next door to the church in our concept. Right? That sound good? Man, they didn't like me next door, so Paul got up and went right next door to a place where people wanted to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I want to challenge your heart this morning. Sometimes and in some situations, there are people and there are homes and there are places that do not want to hear the truth of God. But sometimes there are people right next door who are ready to hear.
Amen.
Sometimes there are people right next door that are already worshiping Jesus Christ. And it's important today in the attitude and in the heart of the church this morning, the heart of our church in this community, that we understand that God has prepared the hearts of people, and there are people that we may not even know about that are faithfully serving God today. And God opens doors for us to be a part of that. Paul took steps and he went next door and he began to preach and to teach. It says, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on... Not only did he go next door to the synagogue, but the head guy at the church next door came across the street, came next door. Did you catch that? The head of the synagogue, the chief of the synagogue, came to fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ. What does that look like when God shakes up the church? When God begins to move and the Holy Spirit works in people's lives and they're committed to relationship with Jesus Christ. It says, not only that, he believed on the Lord with all of his house. His entire family came to relationship with Jesus Christ. And many of the Corinthians, hearing this, believed and were baptized. Faithful commitment in the life of the early church. The Word of God is preached. Very same, similar situation that we've been reading all throughout the book of Acts. What is the process? The process is faithfully share Jesus Christ. right? When we faithfully share Jesus Christ, then people begin to hear the Word of God. They see the truth of God in other people's lives, and they come to right relationship. And when they come to right relationship, the very next thing that we see all throughout the book of Acts, there's no accident here this morning. What happened to this man and his family? They believed in Jesus Christ. Very next thing, what did they do? They got baptized. I challenge your heart this morning, man. What would it look like today if this was the priority of the church? Get people saved and get them baptized. What if that was the priority in the heart of every individual today that has come to relationship with Jesus Christ? You understand today, this is the same pattern that God has outlined in the church today. And we've talked about it many of other times. The very next thing that we see is they've come to this place, right? There was a place established, and just because it didn't happen to be the synagogue, this was some guy's house. And they were faithfully serving. And these people came to know Jesus Christ. And they came into fellowship with Christ. And then they obediently did what God has called every one of us to do today. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, the very next thing God calls you to do is be baptized. You realize that this morning? That's God's call for us. Amen. It's not about making excuses. It's not about being comfortable to do it. It's about just saying, yes, I want to be obedient to what God has called me to do. Amen. Then the very next thing we see when they're baptized is they're a part of the church. Now, this happens to be in somebody's house, but they're in fellowship. They come into fellowship with the church. And this is a very, very important thing that is missing today in church life. But they actually came apart and became a part of the church.
That's right.
We refer to it today in our church and in this place as being a member of this church. That's kind of how we describe that. Right. What it means is that you come up here and you say, you know what, I'm committed to being a part of what's going on in this local body of believers, and I want to be a part of it.
Amen.
They'll put my name down on the list that says I'm committed to be here and serve God. It's not about having your name on the list just because you want to be on the list, but it's about serving God mm-hmm. and recognizing that God has called you to be a part of something that He's doing in this place. Wherever that might be. For these individuals, that's what happened. They came alongside and they began to worship and they began to serve the Lord. And they were faithful. They were baptized. And I want you to consider in verse 9 as we go on, it says, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision." So in the midst of worship, in the midst of the Holy Spirit working in this place, the Spirit begins to move in the heart of Paul. Consider that for a minute. "Spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision." Look what he says. "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace." I want you to consider for a minute. Paul has been going from place to place. This is his second go-around, right? We had one missionary trip, now we're going around a second time. And just for a second, why in the world do we see a verse like that? Why for a faithful servant of God would there ever be a thought in our mind that Paul would be fearful? Paul of all people. We read verses like this, it's important to understand what we see and what God has revealed to us in Scripture. There are times and situations in our life when we're fearful, whether we want to admit it or not. And no matter how many times we've gone through the motions, we've gone through the steps, we've done obediently what God has called us to do, Paul must have had fear. And I only believe that because of what Scripture says. Look what it says. The Lord came to him in a vision. And he told him, "Do not be fearful." Why would he say that? Because there's fear, right? Why would the Lord say today in your heart, in your life, in my mind, in my heart, why would he ever come to this place of saying, "Don't be afraid"? Because he knows our heart. He knows our life. And he knows our actions. And one of the things that Paul faced here is what we're going to read in this chapter was a great battle that Paul faced. And God was preparing him for these things. And I want to challenge your heart this morning. If God is telling you to not be afraid, it's because he knows you already are. If you're afraid this morning to take a step of obedience in what God has called you to do, he's challenging your heart to listen to him, to be obedient. Amen. To the things of God. And what Paul heard right here in this vision, he says, "Be not afraid." And then what does he say? He reveals what Paul's fear was. Did you see that? What was Paul's fear? But speak. Now it's hard. Think about what we've read about Paul and what we've learned about Paul all the way up to this point. We don't really see up until this point a time when Paul was really afraid of anything. I mean, this guy, when we talk about Paul before the Lord had gotten a hold of his life, he was a very verbal man. He was a very ignorant man in many a ways. But he had a desire to get done what he wanted done. And we see that throughout Scripture. How many times, when we go back to what we'd read already in the book of Acts, was standing over the body of Stephen when he was being persecuted, when he was being stoned. Remember that? All the things that we read in the book of Acts that we've read together all the way up to this point, we don't see a sense of fear. We don't see a sense of worry. We don't see Paul hiding back from anything really up until this point. But we see now that there was this fear. And I think the Lord reveals it. He says, be not afraid, but speak. Don't hold your peace. Hold not your peace. He was telling him, you need to say what needs to be said. You need to go on. And many a times in our lives today, this is the direction that I believe God gives to us. When God has put it in your heart and you know that there's direction that God is moving in your life, be not afraid to do it. If it's speaking, speak. If it's taking a step of obedience and doing something you've never done before, then do it. If, in the simplest of example today, one of the great challenges we have is helping people to understand their need for Jesus. You know, one of the hardest decisions people will ever make, if you've made it, you know. One of the hardest decisions you've ever made is saying, yes, I'll recognize that I need Jesus as my Savior. I recognize that my old sinful life and my old nature is wrong. You know what next step that we've already talked about this morning is hard? Sometimes just simply saying yes and getting baptized is hard. That's a battle. Why? Because Satan knows that you have to be obedient to the Lord, and he doesn't want that. And when we get past that and we go into the next step and the next step and the next step in our life, it's hard to say yes. But the call that I believe we see from the Lord is that he challenged for Paul to do the same thing. Speak. He knew that the heart of Paul. For I am with thee, in verse number 10. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Now we see another part of this account that is very important today. Obviously, Paul was afraid to speak, right? That's obvious if we really deduct from that verse what it says. What was the other part of his fear? He must have had fear for his life, right? For a man that persecuted and killed Christians himself, he is now in a place of fear. You remember what we read in the book of Acts before? When Paul was led into the city, into a place... Do you remember when he was led blind into the city? What we've already read before? What did the Lord say? He must know what he's going to suffer for me. You remember the scripture? We read it. He has no idea. Paul was going to face some situations. Paul had no idea what he was going to face. But I guarantee you, in this verse, in this instance, as we read it here, Paul was starting to see some of the things that the Lord meant when he said he had no idea what he was going to face for him. How much suffering he was going to have. And I think in this very moment we see a depiction in these verses that Paul was coming into real life understanding of struggle and difficulty in his life. Why? Because he was faithful. I want to challenge your heart this morning. The more faithful you are to God, the more you ought to be ready for some struggle. You ought to be ready for some persecution. You ought to be ready for a more spiritual battle. When we get serious about relationship with Jesus Christ and we're faithful to preach and to teach and to live a life that is obedient to Christ, we should know by the example given to us in Scripture that life may get a little more difficult. And I think it's evidence in that verse for Paul that he was afraid to speak, and he was afraid to speak. Why? Because they were threatening his life. Because he knew that if he went into this place in the city of Corinth, where we just now have seen the Lord lead him, that there was some sort of great fear here. And he says there, do not be afraid. Look what he says. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Most important part of that verse that we read is Jesus says what? I am with you. Do you know that the Lord's with you today? And if we know that the Lord is with us, then what do we have to fear? If we know that where we are right now in this moment in our life, in relationship with Jesus Christ, if you know that Jesus is truly living in your heart, then you know that what He's calling you to do is what's best for your life. And we trust Him that He's with us. And then even though we don't know necessarily what it might look like, we don't know the way, we don't know the direction, we don't know exactly what's next for you or me in my life and in the life of this church, we know that God is with us. And if that's the case in your heart this morning, then we can faithfully take a step. We can obediently take a step and trust Jesus. And what he called for Paul in this verse was to trust him. No man shall set to hurt thee. Look what he says. For I have much people in this city. You ever been in a place when you wondered if you were the only person? If you wondered if you were the only Christian, you recognize today that there's something very important in that verse. It's one of the battles that every one of us as Christians face today. So we get into a position and we get into a situation in our life, and you might be in one of these situations today. When you're looking at life the way it's living out for you right now, and you look around the room and you say, nobody has a clue what I'm going through. Nobody has an understanding of what life is for me. They don't know my hurt. They don't know my pain. They don't know the questions that are running through my mind. They don't know all the things that are going on. And the truth is, for every one of us in this room, we may not know. I have no idea what you're dealing with today. I don't. Only way I am allowed to know that is if you come and share it with me. And if you haven't realized, most people don't like to share that kind of stuff. I wish people would. I really do. There are times when I wish people would just be willing to come and share more things. But we hold it true in our heart. We hold it tight and we hold on to it and say, I can bear through it, right? I can struggle through it. I can walk through it myself. I can accomplish this. I can accomplish that. And one of the other things we hear often is, well, nobody wants to hear my sob story anyways, right? Nobody wants to hear about what's going on in my life because they've all got their own problems. But I promise you this morning that God has provided an opportunity in the life and the family of the church for us to love each other and encourage each other and build each other up. Amen. And what God was doing here through Jesus Christ and giving this vision to Paul was encouraging him in the steps that he was about to take. And it's important in the life of the church this morning. He says, for I am with you. And don't be worried about those that might hurt you, because I have, what he says in the last part of that verse, I have much people in this city. And I promise you, when Paul began to look around, that we have to see the evidence of what's written in Scripture. Paul looked around just like every one of you have done at one time or another and said, man, I don't think this is right. I'm not real sure that's where God wants me to go. I'm not real sure that's what God wants me to do. It doesn't seem right. Why doesn't it seem right? Because the world says no. From Paul's perspective in the city of Corinth, we look around. You have to dig into the history. We don't have enough time today to dig in the history of Corinth. But this city was one of the worst cities you could imagine. Most sinful, nasty, filthy cities it could possibly be. If you study historically about this city, there was more sexual sin going on in this city than you could imagine. Las Vegas didn't have anything on Corinth. This city of sin. Plain and simple. Paul walked into a city of sin and he looked around and he's like, first thing that most Christians do when they get into a place that's uncomfortable, right? Start looking around and like, man, there ain't no God here. There can't be any God in this place. There can't be no recognition of the Lord in this place. Maybe it's a city. Maybe it's a home. Maybe it's a relationship for you today. Maybe you've not gone to a new place. You're just now moving into a new relationship or new venture in life. And it's easy to look around and say, man, the Lord's not here at all. And whether we want to talk about it or not this morning, every one of us have been in that situation. When you've looked around and honestly said, man, they don't have a clue. They don't know anything about Jesus. They don't know anything about what's going on. And I believe wholeheartedly we see this description right here in the book of Acts because God knew what Paul was faced with. Paul walked into the city of sin. And think about it today. Some of you have been to Las Vegas. You ever walked around that place and thought that? Man, there's no way there's Christians in that place. I promise you there are. I've met some. There's faithful servants of the Lord in places that we've never thought before. Paul came into this place and the Lord encouraged him. He says, not only do I have somebody here, but he said, I've got much people. I've got a lot of people working there. And I want you to consider one more very important thing today for the life of the church. What better place for a bunch of Christians to be than in a city full of sin? And I know that's opposite of what the world says. I know that's opposite of what the church has probably said for years and years and years. We've got this misconception that the church is this very special holy place and we're, oh my goodness, this wonderful, great. You've all done such a good job of being a faithful servant of the Lord, and we want to keep ourselves pure and unspotted, right? We want to do what's best for us. We're going to set us up a little building over here and call it a church place, and we're going to stick our nose in the air and feel really good about who we are. The call for the church today is to recognize the sinful nature of the world we live in and be a faithful witness, because God is with us. What better place for a missionary to go than into a city full of people that obviously from the outside looked like they had no idea who Jesus was? It's a great place for a church to be. It's the best place for a church to be. Scripture says that the healthy don't need a doctor, right? It's the sick. Who the Lord reminds us of over and over. Who needs a doctor? The sick. If you're healthy, you don't go to the doctor usually, right? You go start feeling bad. That's the way most of us operate. Some of you probably have a little better habit than that and maybe go get checked up once in a while. Most of the time, we don't go there till we're sick. We don't want to admit it. Man, what a great place for the church and for us to be this morning. Paul was reminded, I have much people here. In verse number 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Not only did he go into this place, but now he's 18 months in. Usually in Paul's pattern, he's moving from place to place to place. Does that give you an indication of what it meant to be in that place and what kind of ministry was there? Paul, he was in the habit of starting churches, getting people committed to the Lord, and then he'd move on because that's what God had called him to do. There's a reason the Lord put him there. 18 months. I don't know about you, but I think there's many a times in my life when I've been really uncomfortable and it feels like I can't get out of there. It feels like, Lord, I'm okay with it today, but I'd rather leave tomorrow if that's okay. I'd rather not be in this situation. I'd rather not. Can you imagine what 18 months would have looked like? If the only focus in Paul's heart would have been, man, Lord, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do those things. And I want to challenge your heart this morning, the faithfulness that God has called us to be obedient to the truth of Jesus Christ, to preach the word of God. In verse 12, and when Gallio was deputy of Acacia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul, and they brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will not be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogues, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. We give a little indication now what happened. He was the deputy of this place. What happened? They brought Paul into this place of judgment. Why? After 18 months, he'd been preaching and teaching the word of God, right? He's faithful to share the word of God. They bring him into this place because now they've had enough. Bring him to this place. And we see a great opportunity here. Something that we don't always recognize even today. But they brought him to a judge. And who was this judge? He was a judge of the world's matters, if you want to call it that. Pretty wise guy. In all pictures, if you really look at it, this guy was pretty smart for a politician or a judge. He was pretty smart because he came into this place and they brought Paul in and he's like, what did they say? Hey, why are you bringing him here? I'm no ruler of your religious things. I'm not a ruler of your religion and your questions. He says, when Paul was now about to open his mouth, look what he says. The judge said unto him, unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. You see what he says? Same thing we see throughout Scripture many a times. If it was a situation of right or wrong, I'd deal with it. I can't find any wrong in this man. He's done nothing illegal. He's done nothing wrong. If you've got a religious problem with him, you take care of that. Man, what would it look like today if the government said it was okay for the church to take care of religious matters? Man, the world would be different, wouldn't it? There's something to be said for this man. He made a decision. He said, hey, this is religious stuff. I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't have any reason. I don't see any fault in this man. Of course, it didn't really make them feel very happy, did it? But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look you to it, he says, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them away from the judgment seat. Look what we see. So what happened? The Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and they began to beat him. Instead, they now go out and start beating this other guy. Poor guy. Poor situation, right? And he cared for none of those things. The interesting situation that Paul found himself in, and it's a good indication now as we begin to see these things, what happened? Paul was fearful. Why was he fearful? See it right there, right? The Lord just called for Paul. Trust me. Believe me. Don't be fearful. So I've got a great many people in this place. And now we begin to see, right? There are some others in that place. There are some other faithful servants of the Lord that were actually very literally persecuted. Beyond what we might comprehend today. And I want to challenge your heart this morning. We read verses and an account like this in Acts this morning is a reminder for us today in the life of the church. Is it important enough for you this morning to take steps of obedience to God? It's not about saying you're obedient to any laws or rules or regulations that the world set up. It's not about following in the set of guidelines that may be set up in the life of the church that we have today. It's about following in relationship and obedience to Jesus Christ. Paul faithfully followed what Christ had called him to do. He went from place to place. We find him in Corinth in one of the worst conditions he could have ever been in. And he faithfully shared Jesus Christ. When he faithfully shared, we see the same thing we've seen all throughout the book of Acts. What happened? People were saved. I wonder in your heart and your life this morning, would you be obedient to the Lord? Would you be willing to take steps of obedience, whatever that looks like? Would you come to this place in this recognition that as Jesus responded here, in reference to Paul's fear and his concern, that would you trust him today with your life? I don't know your heart and your life this morning. Only you know those things. You and the Lord know what's in your heart and what's in your life today. You can say this morning that you've followed Him in salvation and you're in right relationship with the Lord. What else has God called for you to do? Have you followed Him in baptism? Have you followed Him in joining this church if this is where God's called you to be? And be obedient to what God has called you to do so that you might be in the ministry that God has called you to be in. Whatever that looks like. We know today that the church all over this world is looking for faithful people that will be willing to do what God has called them to do. It's not about being on the rolls as having your list on the name of people that say you're attached to this church or whatever church it might be that God leads you to. It's about being a faithful servant of the Lord and knowing that if we're faithful servants in this place, then we can be used of God. God has a desire to use each of you. Would you be willing to do that? If God's called you to do something this morning, would you do it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. And I thank you, Lord, for your truth, your knowledge and understanding. Lord, even as we read it in these verses this morning, Lord, a great individual in Scripture that we study and we read about all the time. Lord, this man named Paul that was faithful. Lord, that was committed even in the midst of fear. In turmoil, Lord, we're reminded that as human flesh began to creep in, and Lord, that we see a great challenge in these verses to encourage our hearts this morning. And Lord, I pray in this place this morning, every heart and every life that is in this place would be in a place of obedience to you this morning. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you'd help them to walk down this aisle. When we begin to sing this song of invitation, pray you'd help them to come. Lord, that we could share with them what it means to know you as their Savior today. Lord, maybe there are those that have been saved, and maybe they've never taken that step of obedience and been baptized as we see the example in your word. They've just been holding off. They've been waiting for the right time. They've been waiting for the right decision. They've been trying to put everything together. Lord, I pray that you'd just remove all those excuses and those worries today. Lord, that they might come down this aisle and just give an indication of their desire to be obedient to you today, Lord, so that it could just be the very beginning of their life and relationship with you in a step of obedience. Lord, maybe there are others here in this place that need to come and make a commitment to be a part of this church. Lord, help them to come, that we sing this invitation, they just walk down this aisle, and Lord, just let us know. They want to be a part of what's going on in this church. Be committed to being here as a member of this church so that we might faithfully serve you together in whatever you're leading us in the days ahead. Lord, maybe there's other decisions. Maybe we've been wrong in our heart. Maybe our hearts are just full of sin and struggle and difficulty today and we don't really know what the next step is for us. I pray you'd help, Lord, us to just get serious and right with you this morning, that we not leave this place till we've done what you've called us to do. Lord, whatever your will is, we're going to trust you. And know that your plan is perfect. Lord, we thank you and we ask these things in your name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. Are you going to use a hymnal? It's page number 300. Stephanie, to play one more, to give you an opportunity this morning. God's called you to do something. Would you do it? Not going to hang on long, not going to keep you long, but I want you to have an opportunity. If God's called you, would you do it? Take a step. Just one step. One step of obedience to the beginning of a lifetime of obedience. God's calling you to do something. Don't be afraid. Just as he told Paul, I'm here. No fear. When it's the Lord that's leading you. You want to be in obedience to him today? Come and do it. Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence here in this place. We thank you, Lord, for your word and your truth and the reminder that you bring to our hearts from these things today. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we go out into the world this week. Lord, that we would truly have the desire in our hearts to be the witness and the light that you've called us to be. Lord, as we go about the work that is a part of our life each and every day, that we would be a light for you. And Lord, that your spirit would just be shining. Lord, I pray that you would just put a thought in our minds each and every day, Lord, that we're reminded of your presence in our life, and Lord, that we do not have to be fearful to take steps that you've led us in, Lord, that we just trust you with every detail of our lives. Lord, knowing that you see every part of our hearts and our lives today, we trust you, Lord, we thank you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.